Tracy Hopapa heads the Federation of Māori Authorities and is an award-winning company director. Today we are talking about the recent visit of the Chinese Premier, and he is the highest-ranking Chinese official to have visited this country in around 7 years. Thanks very much for joining us to offer some observations. Tracy, hoki mai rā, tēnā koe.
Morena, Dale, morena.
Kia ora. How important is this visit? And we're looking at it from a Māori perspective. Might it open up more channels to get Māori produce into what is our biggest market? What did you make of the visit, the rhetoric that was around the visit politically, and some kōrero economically about the potential for growth as a result of the visit?
Certainly. Look, Dale, China is our largest trading nation for Aotearoa New Zealand. And so as that, the fact that China has seen fit to send arguably one of its highest ranking officials and leaders to Aotearoa at this time is very important. It signifies the relationship between our Prime Minister and China and vice versa, so there's that. China also, in total, it's about 40 plus export dollars for Aotearoa, and 21 of that is around meat, dairy and wood products. And so for Māori, it's critically important that Aotearoa New Zealand and China maintains its relationship country to country, as traders, as countries, as people, and so that's important. The idea too that New Zealand is seen as a partner with China is important, but equally there are concerns around security, around foreign interference that some of our whanaunga have raised quite rightly and have been put on the table.
There's been criticism of human rights abuses in China, and they have been ongoing as the world seeks ethical provenance of produce that they source, including here from NZ. Are we doing the same there? Have there been any reservations from Māori exporters regarding China as a trading partner, bearing in mind these human rights transgressions that have been noted through the media and internationally?
For Aotearoa, and especially for Māori exporters, integrity and authenticity is important. People and place is important for the overall Aotearoa New Zealand brand. Issues around human rights continue to plague international trade, Dale. In this case, we're talking about China. But in Aotearoa, we also have our own issues with regards to the way in which we treat our labour workforce, especially those who have come from other countries to work in our area. So there's that. I understand that the Prime Minister and ministers have raised that with China directly, and certainly our diplomatic corps is working through those issues. For some of our whanaunga, Adele, that won't be enough. For some of our whanaunga, they will say that we need to stop trading with China until those human rights tragedies and issues are dealt with. For the pragmatists, we have to trade. Aotearoa either trades and exports or dies. And so there is a difficult balance there between export, economics, environment, and our people.
From your understanding, Tracy, was the delegation from China afforded the opportunity to meet with our Māori agribusiness leaders? So again, these relationships so important to trade between nations and between cultures can be acknowledged more fully. We know he met with our high-ranking politicians. Are you aware of a session with Ngai Māori?
Relationships, people to people, business to business, country to country are always critical in trade and always critical in diplomatic relations. Māori, with due respect to the importance of our tikanga and the welcome and our cultural ceremonies, are more than that, Dale. Māori need to be part of the conversations when visiting political and industry delegations come to Aotearoa, so we might represent and discuss issues related to our primary industry leadership, of which we play a significant part in Aotearoa New Zealand's commitment to reaching this export double, but also to ensuring that we hit our export targets with China and with the world. And you're quite right. This is a conversation that needs to be led and had, firstly by the Prime Minister and then respective ministers across trade, agriculture, foreign affairs, but also in terms of organisations like FOMA to continue the important lobbying and advocacy work that we do.
Tēnā koe. Thank you, Tracy. You're in Vancouver for Talk on Indigenous Trade. This might illustrate that point that we were just talking about. Creating relationships goes first, and then business can follow. It doesn't always, but first you've got to establish that respectful relationship. Tell us more about this hui that you're attending and how this might impact potential Māori agribusiness exports.
Thank you. I've been invited to a first ever Indigenous Agricultural Forum between Canada and the United States. Their heads of Indigenous industry and primary industry and landowners are here in Vancouver for a 5-day summit and conference. I've been asked to come here to talk about Māori agribusiness and trade, but also the Indigenous people's economic trade and cooperation arrangements. So accompanying me is Peter Tepene and also Tani Waitford as co-chairs of IPECA. The focus this morning has been around Indigenous trademarks and how we might afford securities and authorities that ensure Indigenous exporters might be relieved of tariff barriers, of costs going to market, opening special access to markets for Indigenous exporters. So a really useful conversation and discussion, and very, very pragmatic. So all about how we're going to make things happen, solutions to challenges, and then sharing opportunities across the world of Indigenous trade.
That Indigenous trade, while it sounds exciting and full of potential, would still come under the umbrella, I guess, of existing national laws, New Zealand in this case, Canada. Is it ever going to be possible for us to bypass those, at times, restrictions and go straight to each other rather than having to adhere to the parliamentary or customs regimes of the nations that our Indigenous peoples are from?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Dale. You know, the fact is that trade globally is defined and guided by agreements between governments, largely, and markets and industries. What it also means is FOMA members to trade directly with our Indigenous brothers and sisters across the world. We can do that in a private capacity, but we're still subject to the trade architecture and framework that's been agreed between the governments or political politicians of each of those countries, and that defines how we can get into market. What we're discussing today are innovations whereby we might have a recognised sovereignty for trade and export. And, you know, Aotearoa is going some way in terms of including Indigenous chapters in our recent agreements. For example, the European Union and also the UK agreement. It's a start, Dale. Many of us are bypassing those kinds of arrangements anyway and going direct to market. And that's costly in terms of time and money and energy. So getting into market sounds good. Growing and feeding the world sounds good. The backstory is a lot of hard work.